The Property Pod. Welcome to The Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Sani Bonani, and welcome to the latest episode of The Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers, and entrepreneurs in South Africa's expansive property industry. The KZN North Coast, specifically Zimbali Resort, was in the spotlight last week, hosting a G20 summit run-up event, the G20 Finance Track. It included finance ministers and central bank governors from most of the G20 nations, and significantly secured a communique agreement for the first time since the G20 in Indonesia in 2022, I believe. It's quite significant. It might seem like a talk shop, but I know government was pretty happy about securing that. We are not talking about the G20, though. With the spotlight having been on Zimbali or the Zimbali meet, we thought, why not get an update on what's happening on the property development front on the broader North Coast, in the Ilembe district, as it were, which has been in a boom for a number of years now. Joining me on the latest podcast is Kobus Olufse, the CEO of the Ilembe Chamber of Industry and Tourism, to give us some local insights. There's a lot happening on the North Coast, Kobus. Welcome to the Property Pod. How was the G20 meet? It was in Bali and Balito pumping last week.
Hi, Suren. So good to hear from you again, and thanks for the invitation to participate. Yeah, it's been exceptionally exciting, especially around, obviously, the ongoing social media coverage around the events at the capital Zimbali. And, you know, we had two meetings last week. You know, the first one was 2 days where we hosted the deputy finance ministers and the deputy governors of reserve banks. And then, obviously, the last 2 days were the finance ministers and the actual governors of the Reserve Bank. So, yeah, huge excitement. And I think probably the first correction that I need to make is that I saw, and thank you for correcting that as well on your accounts, is that a lot of people were talking about the event taking place in Durban. It actually didn't. It took place on the KZN North Coast in the Zimbali Coastal Estate, which the capital Zimbali is in. And they hosted the G20 delegations. So yeah, it was all very, very exciting.
I gather it must have been quite busy, but the good thing about that, it's hidden away, so you wouldn't have the protests that you could expect for a big event, possibly in Johannesburg later this year. Let's see what happens and whether Trump actually pitches up or not. How has the business environment, especially on the property development front on the North Coast, been? How is it now? You know, Balito has been in a boom for a number of years, the broader area running all the way up from the Umhlanga going up the North Coast and further up the coast. But, you know, we had COVID, which affected everyone. But, you know, that area has a special significance because there's a lot of vacant land, maybe less than 10 years ago, but there's a lot of land up for development even past, you know, Balito. And that is, a lot of that is part of the Ilembe municipality.
Yeah. I think the majority of the development, Suren, although the Ilembe district obviously is the district that is wedged between the eThekwini Metro and Richards Bay, that the majority of the property development is taking place in the Kwadakuza local municipality area. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the big beneficiary is the KZN North Coast. And it was interesting that a slip of the tongue earlier, I referred to the hotel in the Zimbali Resort as the Fairmont, because I think that was probably one of the big telltale signs for us of COVID. Was the fact that the Fairmont Hotel closed its doors. And then the opportunities, you know, that came after COVID with the Capital Group taking over the old Fairmont facility and converting it into the Capital Zimbali and the significant conference and hospitality venue that it currently is. And I think a further, you know, you mentioned in terms of pockets of land being available, I think, you know, the Tongaat Ulet development and the making available of land for residential development mostly, I think were probably initially big driving forces in terms of the growth spurt that we're seeing on the KZN North Coast. You know, although those were probably catalysts, you know, it's also interesting to, you know, to note just after, you know, COVID and 2021, 2022, that period, the drop in international visitors. And then you look at the number of international visitors that are flying into King Shaka International Airport, which is about 10 minutes away from Ballito as one of the main centers on the KZN North Coast. And over the last 2 years, in the growth in international tourists have increased by 20% in the first year, and then last year by a further 17%. And I think there's a, you know, a combination of all of those factors that are contributing to the development trajectory on the North Coast.
Thanks for that. It's interesting to hear, one would hope, to hear more from Dubé and provincial government about international flights coming back. I know BA stopped during COVID, but they've been struggling to get that back. And they're looking at potentially Air France with the big Club Med resort development on the go.
Yeah.
Is it a case of the boom being back in Ballito and the broader North Coast? You know, we mentioned Club Med, which has got a lot of coverage. But, you know, Zimbali Coastal Resort is established. But just adjacent to it is IFA's Zimbali Lakes development. And we covered that with the Ernie Els Golf Course and other developments around Zimbali Lakes that's on the go and back on the cards. What's your comment on that, broadly speaking, these big projects?
Yeah, you know, Seren, for me, it's also the profile that those developments bring. You know, I don't think we can shy away from the fact that Ernie's throwing his weight behind Zimbali Lakes. Ernie Els is, you know, is an internationally recognized and loved South African golfer and icon. And then obviously just the, you know, the reputation of the Club Med. You know, you can't talk that benefit away, you know. But I also think that if you look at the property development in our region last year in general, you know, that it's not dependent on, you know, two high profile developments only. I do think, you know, it obviously assists hugely in terms of the marketing and the promotion of our region and the investor appeal of our region. But, you know, last year, the value of business plans that were passed by the Kwadakuza local municipality was around 3.5, 3.6 billion rands worth of building plans, and which makes up very, very close, probably a percentage or so away from 25% of all building plans that have been approved in the province of KZN. And, you know, we're definitely leading in terms of the value of business plans past all secondary cities in the country, outperforming, you know, even some of the metropolitan areas and metropolitan municipalities in the country. So I think we passed the sixth highest number value of business plans countrywide. So, you know, I think your reference to a bubble, you know, I hope it's not. You know, that I hope that this is a long-term steady growth in terms of the opportunity that the KZN North Coast offers, not only in terms of, you know, property development and residential property development, but definitely also from a commercial and definitely from an industrial development point of view as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that yes, there's a, you know, a prominence because of the developments that are like Zimbali Lakes and Club Med, but I think there's much bigger picture beyond, you know, just two high-profile developments.
Mm. So thanks for that, talking about building plans. That's fascinating that it is, you know, amongst the top building plan approved areas as a secondary city, as it were, even though it's not even regarded as a city, even though there has been a huge amount of people that have moved. It is a semigration hotspot, other than the one we all talk about, Cape Town in the Western Cape. But How significant are those two projects? Is there any other projects you'd like to mention in terms of the North Coast? You know, what impact could this have for the region? Because, you know, Zimbali, the Fairmont, when it was there, was the biggest foreign direct investment at the time in SA history,
yeah,
in tourism.
Yeah.
And now you're having other brands coming in. But you mentioned that it's not just about the big projects. There's a lot of smaller, you know, the likes of Baldwin have big developments down there.
Yeah.
And there's increasing interest. Collins Residential has a huge amount of land together with Patrick Sukela and Royal Shaka Property Group, in addition to a whole lot of other developers, private investors. Belito Junction is owned by Flanagan and Gerard, and they're a national player. I might be stealing a little bit of your thunder, but what are some of the other projects in addition to those two that we mentioned, and how significant are these for the region?
I can be facetious now and say, well, you've mentioned all of them, but I won't be surreal. No, but listen, I do think what you have mentioned is obviously, you know, it's not only Baldwin in terms of entry market, affordable, maybe higher density developments. There's also Arcus that is a big player in that area. And the Collins development partnership with Royal Sharka Property Group, you know, I think if you obviously Collins is involved with Club Med as well as the as a development partner, and you know, I think you can't dismiss the relevance of Collins in terms of residential estates. But then also, like you say, you know, quite a few smaller developers, not of the scale of a listed Baldwin or Arcus or Collins, but you know, a lot of other developers that are creating the offering, you know, whether it's, you know, the Belito Junction or even the Belito Lifestyle Centre, you know, which is a very locally owned lifestyle centre and offering. Is, I think, all of those that are contributing to the offering, you know, that this is not only the Zimbali or the Zimbali Lakes or the Zimbali Coastal Resort type of residential offering. You know, there are entry level, there are significant offerings for people that are interested in second properties or investment properties. And I think that is probably part of the appeal, you know, that all of a sudden with the prominence of Club Med and Zimbali Lakes, etc., you know, there's a huge amount of interest, but the ability of our North Coast market to actually meet, you know, the different variations in that interest in terms of what's in demand, whether it's entry-level properties, whether it's affordable properties, whether it's high density versus, you know, some of the residential estates that are, you know, are selling 10, 20 hectares piece of land, you know, and is more an agricultural residential development, is that all of those role players are contributing to quite a unique and comprehensive offering in terms of what people and investors into our region might be interested in.
Ilembe Chamber, how long has it been going? How many members does it have? Do you want to share a little bit about the chamber and what it does and who it represents on the North Coast, in addition to your time there?
Thanks, Seren. Yeah, we, you know, the chamber has been going for 14 years now, coming on 15 years. So we're definitely one of the newer chambers of commerce in the country. We obviously cover the whole of the Ilembe district, and maybe I should just mention that as well. Is that although the Kwadakuza municipality obviously plays host to both the KZN North Coast as well as Stanger Kwadakuza, Kwadakuza Stanger as a retail and a public sector hub. We also have got Mandini to the northeast. And the relevance of Mandini is the fact that it, as a local municipality, hosts Isithebe, Isithebe being the biggest state-owned industrial park in the country. And if you'll forgive me to say that, we employ more people in Isithebe than all of the SEZs in the country put together. So, you know.
Wow, I didn't realize that. How many jobs are there?
There's probably, let me tell you our figures, is that in terms of SEZs, there's probably about 15,000 people employed by all SEZs in the country. And we believe that between the 200 businesses in Isithebe, that we're probably closer to 16,000, 17,000.
Wow.
Which just, you know, reflects on the on the relevance. And I think that's probably one of the things that I wanted to mention in terms of, you know, obviously what we as a chamber aspire to, and I think we share that with our public sector partners, is that this is not only about residential development and offering a commuting comfort for people that either work in Joburg or commute to Durban to the metro. You know, is that from an industrial and a commercial base, that we would like to see our economy grow in those areas as well, and not, you know, as being in a residential base. So, and then we've got two hinterland municipalities in Ndwedwe and Mapumulu. And so that's our region. In terms of membership, you know, I'm not going to divulge the numbers, but we
are a small player, I know, but it's a significant player, so I would think the growth is you're seeing it in your member numbers.
Yeah, and I think, you know, although we obviously, you know, we don't have the business base that we you know, that we can reference back to, like, you know, the big metropolitan areas, I do think the growth that we've had, and the fact that from a municipal growth node over the last 10, 15 years, we've dominated the charts in South Africa, I think that contributes hugely to the relevance of an entity like the Chamber, representing business and the private sector in collaborations, in a social compact, in a social partnership with local municipalities, local government, but then also quite often, you know, especially when it comes to road infrastructure, etc., provincial government, and then from time to time, even, you know, with national government. So that's the role that our chamber plays, and that we, you know, that we hope we effective in terms of contributing to, you know, the conducive business environment that are attracting people and especially businesses to come and settle on the North Coast and the wider region.
We could have a separate conversation on what you mentioned around Isithebe, and had we had more time. But just to conclude, Kobus, what's behind the boom and semi-creation trend in the area? And perhaps you want to share some of the challenges, because it's not all rosy. I'm sure you have some challenges on the North Coast, whether it might be municipal infrastructure-wise, are the likes of SANRAL and others giving you the infrastructure to unlock the kind of growth that you'd like to see?
No, Serena, one of my board members said the other day, Quivers, when you become negative, it's the day that we all need to leave. And, you know, so I say that with very, very rose-tinted glasses, is that I think if you look at an area like Kwadukuza and you look at the growth that we're experiencing, it's inevitable that from an infrastructure point of view, you know, development would lag. And I think that's why it's so important that, you know, we work with the local municipality, both in terms of Mandini and Isithebe as well, in terms of unlocking, especially trying to recover from the 2016 and 2018 unrest that we've had, and then obviously 2021 as well that we've had in Isithebe. But, you know, that especially in terms of strategic infrastructure, that we do the planning and that we make sure that we support the municipality in terms of being able to secure funding for that strategic infrastructure to be developed to support the growth that we're experiencing. And then, you know, also on the maintenance side and just the repair side, you know, that we support them in terms of best practices and the discipline. We had quite a few outages, and I think there might have been some coverage around, you know, November and December electrical outages that we've experienced that, you know, in some instances didn't create a pleasant experience for some of the tourist visitors that we had to our area. And on the 13th of January, we were in a meeting with the MM and the mayor requesting us to participate in a task team around the electricity and reliability of the electrical network. So, you know, those are the type of things that I think we're not unique in the country in terms of reliability and the maintenance of infrastructure. But I think that hopefully the business community, the private sector, have positioned themselves to, you know, that the our public sector partners realize that, you know, we would like to collaborate and assist in advancing our region as an investment destination, but also, you know, for people to come and live in.
Before you go, you mentioned electricity, but water, I know a few years ago there were some big developers looking at some sort of desalination plant. Is water okay on the North Coast now?
Yeah, it's Seren. Interestingly enough, that was the time that we had the drought, and that was just before COVID, where obviously, we looked at all sorts of opportunities around replenishing water. I must say, from a rainfall point of view, if you look at the floods in 2022 and the more recent floods as well, I think we've probably stabilized in that regard. But in terms of water and sanitation provision, you might be aware that obviously we one of the few municipalities in the country, I think we might be one of two, that have got a private concession for part of our water and sanitation through one of the South African waterworks companies called Caesar Water, that has got a concession area for the old Dolphin Coast. And then the Ilembe District Municipality obviously covers as a water authority, the rest of the district. And we've got regular engagements with the district municipality, not only around the infrastructure and the maintenance of infrastructure and the responsiveness to repairs that needs to be done, but also, the cost of supplying those type of services. And obviously the National Department of Water Affairs, has played quite a significant role in that. And then, I don't think dissimilarly with Caesar Water as well, from a concession area, is also, how do we support them just to make sure that the cost is something that is under control and, contributes to the appeal of our region. I think from both the district municipality and from a Caesar Water point of view, it's going well.
Okay, that's good to hear. We'll have to leave it there, Kobus. Thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it. That was Kobus Olufse, the CEO of the Ilembe Chamber.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Suren Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories.